good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Thursday, right?
It is.
All day long, right?
Yes. Welcome, Brian Marshall, Sidebottom the First.
Well, welcome, Ken Cummins, a legend.
Well, it's great to be here. It's a beautiful day. What's the temp going to today, you say?
It's going to be about 48.
About? Is it going to be 48 or about 48?
Well, I'm just going to say around 48.
Near.
Or about.
Yeah, we'll just say it's going to arrive. Got an proximidad, so it's going to get near there. Okay.
Somewhere close.
Okay. Yes, indeed. It's going to get somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah. I tell you what, when you get used to that warm weather and then all of a sudden, boom, you're like, oh, my gosh.
Well, if you look at the forecast, like next Tuesday, let's see. Look at
that.
Yeah,
I know. 72.
Does it not say sunshine at 72?
That's what it says.
Yeah.
Sunny at 72.
The weekend, what's it look like there, Brian Marshall, Sidebottom the First?
Well, partly sunny, 52 for Saturday, and then Sunday, sunny and 58.
Well, no excuse Sunday.
No. Get out and go to church. It's going to be pretty.
I don't know. I might want to go fishing or something.
You think so?
Yeah. I don't think I need to go to church. I went once. That's plenty, isn't it?
Well, most people think that way, yeah.
I'll just leave that right there, right? Well, early this morning, you probably were up, but around 3, maybe 2:33, yeah. I said, well, okay, there's no need to try to keep on sleeping when you can't. So I get up and I start my devotion. And I was listening to various music, and I like to do that. And I was listening to an old song, The Anchor Holds. Mm. And then as I was listening to the song, I looked up at my Facebook cover picture, and that's a picture of my family.
Mm-hmm.
I said, man, what, Lord, you've blessed me tremendously. What mm-hmm. more could I want? And then I thought and looked to the cross that only Jesus died for me. He died for the sins of the whole world.
He did.
And I was just flooded with his incredible love mm-hmm. in my heart. Not only does he love me, he loves the whole world.
Yes.
And I asked myself a question. Instead of feeling sorry for myself about things that I thought should be going another way, mm-hmm. it all of a sudden said, do I want you or do I want to do something for you?
Mm.
And that's kind of what the Lord was saying to me. Do you mm-hmm. want me? And I thought, Lord, I just want you.
Amen. Amen.
Just to bask in your presence. And then I also thought about those that have wounded hearts. And I thought about, who is that friend? You know, sometimes you reach out to people, Brian, and they are your friend, but they mm-hmm. don't know what to do.
True.
You look to them, they start talking, but maybe they don't have the gift of listening. And then mm-hmm. they start talking about themselves instead of listening to you. And sometimes you want them just to not try to change anything.
Sure.
Just listen.
Just listen.
Just listen.
There's times I take in. There's times I just want to, you know, talk to somebody.
Sure.
And you know, and have some encouragement come back to you, you know.
And Brother Brian Marshall, Sidebottom the First, what happens? And again, it's the human tendency. Mm-hmm. Start talking about ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That happened to me yesterday, and I'm thinking, brother, I love you. Not you. There's another individual. I said, brother, yeah. I love you.
Yeah.
I'm the one in need here.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of dismissed myself and went on.
I
prayed for this individual and mm-hmm. what he was sharing.
Yeah.
But I also thought this, we need to realize the only one we can truly count on, you can count on your family, yes, but to help you.
Yes.
Is Jesus. Tammy, spring's almost here, and I can feel it in the air. Well, at least sometimes. But I do know this. We have an important event coming up. You know what it is?
I do. It's our annual Friend Raiser. The days are set for Tuesday and Wednesday, April 8th and 9th from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. And on Thursday, April 10th from 6 to 9 a.m. This year's theme is Thank You, Jesus, which is a great song by Josh Baldwin.
You nailed it. This is our first of two fundraisers for Missionary Radio. We're 100% listener-funded and depend on the partnerships with our listening family. We ask you to pray and then respond.
We ask you to renew your faith pledge, and if you can, perhaps bump it up a little. Also, if you had to stop your financial support, we ask you to come back. And we are looking for new supporting friends as well.
For complete information, you may go online to missionary.radio and click on donate. Thank you for listening to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio. Missionary. good morning. You know, when you sing that jingle with me, Missionary Radio.
Missionary Radio.
Well, good job there, Brian Marshall, side bottom the first. Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night and start singing the jingles?
Well, I tell you what, since we've started those jingles.
Right. Been a while.
Yeah, they get in your head.
That's the whole point.
That's it.
That's the whole point.
Just drive it home.
This is the Front Porch on Missionary Radio. Last week we had a clip, or audio presentation, from Dr. C.L. Culpepper, a Southern Baptist missionary who served in China mm-hmm. and was part of the Shantung Revival, one of the arguably, it really is the greatest revival movement in Southern Baptist mission history. And it's one of the greatest revivals of all time. Well, I played part of that last week, and now we're going to pick up and hear Dr. C.L. Culpepper speak about a revival that just absolutely was dynamic and soul-saved, lives changed. It lasted 10 years.
Wow.
And here he is. You'll adjust your ears a bit. This is an old audio clip from Dr. C.L. Culpepper.
And he had prepared our hearts. And not only there at Huangshan, but at other places, like things happened. And God himself took charge. And we had a school, schools there, junior high school and senior high school. And on Monday morning, students were coming back to open school. We'd had a winter vacation. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit was so strong, the atmosphere was just surcharged with conviction. And there were about 600 girls in the girls' school and about 1,000 boys in the boys' school. And when they got there, there's some 120 girls were nominal Christians, they'd been baptized, and about 150 boys who were a nominal Christian had been baptized. Others were children of Christians, but they had not been saved. Well, when they got there, they began to get under conviction. And so the teachers called us from the seminary to come over and help them. And I went over to the girls' school and the boys' school and found four or five girls and four or five boys in a room. They had lied to their parents, they had cheated on examination, they had stolen from each other, and they had cheated and stolen things from a different one, and they were just convicted and weeping. And so we dealt with them for about 3 or 4 hours until nearly midnight that night. And so we thought that next day the school would start. But the next day the principal of the two schools sent word to Pastor Wong and me that God had sent a revival in the school, and we were just going to stop and take it. So they asked me to take one service a day, and Pastor Wong one service a day at 10 o'clock and at 7 o'clock in the evening. And the students filled the chapel, about 1,500, and those 200 that God had dealt with the week before, they stood around the walls, and we'd go into the service, and I'd read a few verses of Scripture and explained how to be saved, and by the time I got through, I had to wait for the song to begin so the children would be in, those girls and boys, high school girls and boys, would come rushing down, weeping, and fall on their knees, and weeping, and the 200 that God had dealt with the week before would come and kneel by each one of them, and lead them to the Lord. And dozens were saved at each service, and after 10 days, the 600 girls, every girl in the school had been saved. And of the boys, 1,000, 900 had been saved. And about the middle of the first week, after I'd preached and given an invitation, and dozens had come forward, and we had prayed for them, and they'd gone back from them. We were ready to dismiss. And one of the teachers came rushing up to me and said, "Brother Culpepper, there's a boy back yonder under the back seat, and he's calling for you." And I went back there and knelt down beside him. And he said, "Mr. Culpepper," said, "you don't know me. I'm an atheist. I'm a communist." He said, "The school doesn't know it, and nobody knows it, but in this school we have a cell of about 8 or 10 that are communists. And we threatened to kill you, and we threatened to kill every missionary and burn up the churches and wipe out Christianity. And then today I heard about this revival. He said there's no God and there's no such a thing as revival. And that missionary is hypnotizing those people. And I'm going there tonight and stop it. And said, I came here and I sat and listened to you. And when those students came forward and when they confessed their sins and began weeping and confessing, he said, I said, I'm going to challenge that man. He said, I started to get up from my seat. I got about half from a sitting to a standing position, and something hit me right in the heart. And I know that it's God just knocked me plumb under this seat. He says, here I am, and I want to tell you, Mr. Culpepper, you're right and I'm wrong. And the next night after that, Pastor Wong was leading the service, and a boy fell on the seat by me, stretched out, and he was gritting his teeth and gripping his fists, and he was rigid as a board. And the crowd was dismissed and left, and we teachers gathered around him and we prayed. And he said, don't pray for me, take me home, let me die. And we kept on praying, and finally he said, oh God, if you won't kill me, I'll confess my sin. And he confessed practically the same thing that the other boy had confessed. And he was saved. About half of those boys, that cell of 10, about half of them were saved and the other half ran. So the revival had started, and that went on and on. And there are many other things I'll tell you.
Dr. Culpepper, you have related how the revival began in your own life and began to continue then. And as you continue to share, tell us some of the other results of the moving of God's Spirit in revival in China.
I want to first say that I told you some very personal things of what happened when I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know whether what to say. I never tell it in public because I'm afraid somebody will think that I'm more than I am. I'm less than least of all saints. I'm also afraid that somebody will think that that's the way to get it, to pattern, to try to copy what I had. I hope you won't do that. On all that I experienced in that personal experience, I did not speak in tongues, but God took out fear of anything. I take the Bible just as it is. I believe exactly what it says in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And now as the revival continued, I want to go into a little more detail of what things happened after this great revival in the school. The next week, one of the pastors came in, and I'd been going out to this church for 2 or 3 years. It is a membership of about 30, and usually there are about 10 or 15 people present. It's dry, dried up and dead. It seemed that there's no life there. And if I get one in a month or two in a month to be converted and baptized, I was happy. And this pastor came in and he said, Brother Culpepper, the people are coming in throngs. He says they fill the house and they fill the yard. And he said, I need help. I want you to come out. And so at night I'd go out there and the people would just fill the house and fill the yard. And they'd listen through the doors and windows. And I'd preach. And each time there were dozens would come forward. And a week's meeting there, 100 were saved, and I baptized 86 at one time. We had a galvanized tank dug down in the ground, set down in the ground, and I went down in that and baptized those 86 at one time. One woman was 86 years old, and one for each year of her age. Well, I was so filled with joy, I'd never baptized more than 5 or 6 or at the most 7 or 8, being held up for 2 or 3 months, getting that number. And my joy was full. I could hardly stand the joy that see, just see, stand beside and see God do wonderful things. And a few weeks later, another pastor from about 100 miles out came and went down there with him, and in 2 weeks, we had a 2 weeks meeting, and 300 were saved, and I baptized 203 at one time in one day. And my jaw was so filled that I could hardly stand it. Now, I want to tell you a little bit more in detail what happened over the province and in individual lives, individual cases. Where the revival began down in Pingdu County is where Miss Lottie Moon did most of her work. And they had the most churches there. And in that first year, there were 3,000 people saved. We'd never dreamed of ever seeing that many people saved in one year. But in that one county, 3,000 were saved. And on and on we could go with telling what happened. Not only were the people saved, but they were also, churches were doubled and trebled, and the financial problems were settled. The people brought in their money, they brought their hearts, they sang, they memorized psalms. I think they memorized and put the Chinese tunes, two or three dozen of the psalms. And they loved the Bible, and they read the Bible. And wonderful things happened. And of course, the devil wasn't satisfied to just let us go along without bothering. And he turned loose everything he had on us. He tried to stop us. He tried to confuse us. He tried to imitate us. He tried everything in the world to stop the work. But God gave us discernment. And I give God all the credit. It wasn't us. It was simply God giving discernment to his people. Now, the first thing I want to tell you about my own conviction, by the way, that God convicted me of a thing that had happened 10 years before. When I was in Baylor University, a student, I was working my way through school. I was checking at the cafeteria. And on Sundays, people would come there from the city. And one Sunday, there was a family came at the head of the line. And I checked their trays, and he pulled out a $10 bill to pay for the food. And I didn't have enough change to pay him. And he said, well, we'll go eat and come back and get the change later. And when I had enough change, I looked around to see, and they had already finished and had left the cafeteria, and I didn't know who he was or where he was from. I put the $5 and some odd change in the cash register and kept it there for about 2 weeks. And I got a telegram from a hometown that my sister had died, and I didn't have a cent of money. And so I took this money out of the cash register, thinking that when I got back and he came back for his change, that I'd give it to him. But he never did come back, and I forgot all about it. 10 years later, out there in China, I realized what had happened. When I began praying for the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the Lord just reached down in my heart and dug this up and said, what you going to do about that? I said, Lord, I'll give 10 times that much to the orphanage, to the church, or to the mission, or anything you say. You just name it, and I'll do it.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. I hope you've been encouraged and informed and perhaps even inspired. If you're in San Antonio, Texas.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Tennessee Ridge, I'm very thankful for Missionary Radio music and programs. We need to continue praying for our country and Israel. God bless you all. From Hopkinsville, thank you all for all your prayers and hard work. From a Clarksville listener, thank you for all you do. I enjoy the music and programming. God bless each of you. And from Madisonville, thanks for your dedication and inspirational programs.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
And good morning to you. I hope that you were able to hear that testimony from the very late Dr. C.L. Culpepper, and was part of the Shantung Revival, Southern Baptist missionary who was present there, one of the many, from 1927 to 1937. And listening to the testimony, I'm going to do some takeaways and add some things that are obvious about this Shantung Revival. Now, obviously, to hear some testimonies like this, or to go back and read about the First and Second Great Awakenings or any movement of God that's contemporary or historical, one will ask the question, and I certainly ask myself this question, why isn't it happening now? Well, the truth is, it is in some parts of the world.
Yes.
And that is a revival movement. And what happens in revival movement is a sweeping change. One of the characteristics, let's just say some of the results of the Shantung Revival that Dr. Culpepper was talking about, and that in that end part of that podcast, what he was talking about is that he is a college student 10 years before was checking out at a cafeteria and had used some money to go back home. And you understand getting $5 to change, feeding a family, you know, that's a long time ago. Mm-hmm. You can't even get one meal for the $10 these days.
No.
But anyway, he had taken that money and pure intent was going to give it back, but he used that money to make a trip and forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he started bargaining with the Lord, and he said, what am I going to do? He said, I'll be willing to give 10 times to something, whatever, Lord. But I think that he talked to his mission superior, those in leadership, told him what he had done, and he was able, there was forgiveness for him.
And, yeah, sure.
But if he had to get that right with God.
Sure.
So that leads me to say, Brother Brian, in all of our lives, if we truly want to see a real revival, it begins with prayer. These folks prayed and prayed and sought the Lord, and were emptied of self and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe this, that the Lord will use a broken vessel, but not a dirty one.
True. So what's that mean?
All right. It means that we may be broken, we may be wounded.
Mm-hmm.
We may be even physically in some way not able to perform certain tasks. But Lord, the Lord will use that broken heart or that broken vessel. But a dirty one?
Yeah.
No.
Can't use it.
He wants us to repent. He wants us to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And I'm not talking about, there isn't no anyone perfect. Now, I agree with that.
No.
But if we're going to harbor sin and think we're going to continue on living a sinful lifestyle and God's going to use us for a sweeping change, if what I read about these revivals, like the Shantung Revivals and others, that's not going to happen and unless we get before the Lord and repent. That's an old-fashioned word that we don't want to hear.
That's right, old-fashioned.
How about even to be rich and mention the word without Jesus? If a person doesn't know Jesus as a Lord and Savior, they will live for eternity.
Somewhere, but not in heaven.
Well, it could be heaven or hell, but we almost be afraid that someone will think that we've lost our intellect if we mention that. But why would you share about the need to be saved if everybody's universally saved?
Yeah.
We're not all God's children.
No, we are not.
I hear that all the time, and even political leaders will say that. That sounds nice.
Yeah.
But it just isn't true.
Mm-mm.
We're a creation of God.
Yes.
We're created in His image, and that's why life is so special. Mm-hmm. But why would Jesus die if we are already all children of God?
Mm-hmm.
Only through the Lord Jesus Christ and coming by Him, not through somebody's church, not through somebody human hands, not through any human doing anything.
Yeah.
You don't have a special monopoly on God.
No. No.
Jesus paid it all. And when He died on the cross, He finished the work of redemption right there.
Yes.
And his resurrection. And it's repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus. And as Christians, in order for this revival to come in sweeping power, first of all, we have to want it.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that these folks, as Dr. Culpepper was talking about, they were desiring it. Let me just talk about not only was there conviction of sin, but it was reconciliation with brothers and sisters in Christ as well. Some of the results of that, and we'll talk more about it just in a moment, spiritually dead churches were made alive again. Prayer became more earnest. Mm-hmm. And said to the Lord, please go with us. Thank you that we got to meet today. We pray for our brothers and sisters couldn't be here today. Mm-hmm. Lord, you know where they are.
Yeah.
Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mm-hmm.
What did you just say?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Church attendance dramatically increased in just a few months. National leaders were developed, and Chinese church took ownership and moved forward with the finances or the oversight of the mission agencies. Sick were healed and devils cast out. Men, boys, and girls were preaching with results. Witnessing became spontaneous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You notice he said that Dr. Culpepper said that he had no hesitation. He had power and he had authority. That's from the fire of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Well, Brian Marshall Sidebottom I has his fingers on the trigger.
That's right. For Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope here on Missionary Radio.
This is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope. Listen in as Johnny explains why she loves serving the Lord.
More specifically, I enjoy serving the Lord with gladness. And did you know that that is a command? In Psalm 100, God's Word says, serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. Like, that's one sentence. Serve the Lord with gladness and with a song. And that's something I can do. And I love it that the people around me serve God in the same way. Like the girls who get me up in the morning. It is not the easiest routine. Getting me ready to sit up in my wheelchair. It involves a bed bath, exercises, toileting routines, leg bags, straps, corsets, getting me dressed, so much more. And my friends all know that when they help me, they are really serving God. I tell them that they are ministering to me, the least of the brethren. And so, often after I'm up and we part company for the day, we will end with a song. I remember there was one woman, however, she did not serve the Lord with gladness. To her, getting me up in the morning was her chance to unload. And nothing I said was able to cheer her up. Yes, she was helping. Yes, she was serving. Yes, she was sitting me up in my wheelchair. But her sullen spirit always made the morning, I don't know, just a little harder than most mornings. Finally, I had to tell her, after she had been helping me for a few weeks, I told her, you know what? This just isn't a good fit. It's not working. Being a quadriplegic makes it hard enough getting up in the morning without starting the day on a downer. Whew, but to serve the Lord with gladness. Ah, now there's a glorious occupation. Those who do not serve God with a glad heart cancel out all the benefits that their service could have won them. Charles Spurgeon put it this way. He said, those who serve God with a sad countenance because they do what is unpleasant to them are not serving Him at all. They bring the form of homage, but the life is absent. Our God requires no slaves to grace His throne. He is the Lord of the empire of love and would have His servants dressed in joy. The angels of God serve Him with songs, not with groans, a murmur, or a sigh. That would be mutiny in their ranks. That obedience which is not voluntary is disobedience, for the Lord looks at the heart. And if He sees that we serve Him from force and not because we love Him, He will reject our offering. Service coupled with cheerfulness is heart service and therefore true. Take away joyful willingness from the Christian and you have removed the test of his sincerity. Wow. Spurgeon continues on and he says that cheerfulness is the support of our strength. In the joy of the Lord are we strong. Gladness is to our service what oil is to the wheels of a carriage. Without oil, the axle soon grows hot and accidents occur. And if there be not a holy cheerfulness to oil our wheels, our spirits will be clogged with weariness. Well, I tell you what, Spurgeon's got it right there. So let me ask, do you serve the Lord with gladness? Let's show to the people of the world who think our obedience to God is only a slavery. Let's show them that serving Him is to us a delight and a joy. Let our gladness prove that, yes, we serve a good and glad Master.
And listening friend, if you know someone who serves God cheerfully, then point them to johnnyradio.org where they can hear this program and so many more. And finally, thank you for confirming just how wonderful God is by your happy attitude when you serve the Lord.
And I wanted you to know the scripture makes it clear, for without faith it is impossible to please God.
Mm-hmm.
But with faith we can please God. 743, 17 before the hour, this is the Front Porch. Good morning to you. Brian Marshall, Cy Bottom the First, I'm Ken Cummins, and we've been talking the last couple of Thursday Front Porches about Shantung Revival, and you can probably go out and Google the Shantung, S-H-A-N-T-U-N-G Revival, and you can learn about this revival more. There's books out there. In fact, there's some downloadable material, and we've had a couple of testimonies from Dr. C.L. Culpepper and from a podcast site. I want to tell you, they are very good. Now, the audio is old, but it's good. And I'm just intrigued by what the Lord did. Off mic, Brian Marshall Sidebottom, the First, and I were talking about, does this still happen? And why isn't it happening? Well, let's talk about on the negative side. Why do you think, Brother Brian Marshall Sidebottom, the First, that it isn't happening across all the body of Christ in this area, for example? Let's talk about some netherworld. Let's talk about here. Why isn't it happening?
I just feel like, you know, people are just not interested.
Why aren't they interested? Well, I'm not disagreeing with that.
I just feel like they're just not interested in revival. You know, when you think of a lot of folks, they'll say, you know, the minister said, we're going to have revival. Some will say, oh, man, you mean we got to be in church 3 more days or 4 more days this week? You know, that's how people think, you know. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, I get excited every time the doors open of the church. If it's revival or whatever it is, I just love going because I'm getting something out of it, you know. And, you know, we talk about revival, you know, people, I just don't feel like people's hungry for it like they should be. But
I think you're right. People aren't hungry. We are not hungry for the deeper things of the Lord.
Yeah,
we're talking about the negatives right now.
Sure.
And we're going to talk about the positives. Well, one of the reasons I think that it maybe isn't occurring too is because we're settled. If our budget's good, the building's comfortable, people are coming and they seem to be happy, well, then we're just doing great.
Mm-hmm.
But how about changed lives? Are we creating disciples? Are we sending out missionaries? Are we supporting ministries? Are we helping the poor? Are we feeding the hungry?
It's a lot of good questions.
Are lifestyles changing?
That's it.
Are people still confused that the Bible says there's a male and a female? God created male and female, and He doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah.
But are we just locked into this culture and whatever we think it goes? And one thing that I see I'm somewhat engaged in social media, not as much as some, but I'm present.
Sure.
But I read, and some more don't comment, but I will read some of the things people are saying just to know what the general feeling is. And Brian, some of the Christians will say things like, for example, they will say, well, heaven just gained another angel. That indicates to me they don't even know the simplicity of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true.
Yeah.
That you don't become an angel.
Mm-mm.
And that's just one of many examples that I read. And
yeah.
But I think one of the reasons that the revival isn't coming, because as you notice in the Shantung revival, there was an extraordinary prayer.
Yes.
And And extraordinary in the sense that they've prayed, and sometimes as much as 4 hours and or more days.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the conviction of sin came. Those two are always twins. Mm-hmm. The more you get into the presence of God, the more you realize that you're a sinner. Isaiah chapter 6, just look at the call of Isaiah. Mm-hmm. He says, woe is me. And that wasn't his horse's name. He said, woe is me. He said, for I am a man of unclean lips.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he just said, and then he was called by God once he got he got things right. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that will come on, another reason I think it's not, is because I'm not sure. I think you nailed it. The main reason, we're satisfied.
Satisfied, yeah.
We don't want it. Mm-hmm. And we misconstrue a revival to be just a series of meetings.
Yeah.
And you can't schedule a revival. You can schedule meetings, but a revival is a prevailing work of prayer through availing and the sustaining grace of God.
And revival is supposed to change lives too, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what I always thought anyway.
Yeah. Again, I don't want our listening family to think that I don't want to see people saved. Boy, do I.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
But that's an evangelistic crusade.
Mm-hmm.
A revival is where people's hearts are turned toward God.
That's right.
Through full repentance and that's conviction.
Right. That's right.
And getting every single detail that's preventing us from having a full relationship with the Lord, allowing him to get and dig a little deeper into our hearts.
Yeah.
And so that's what happened in this revival.
Mm-hmm.
And it can, yes, it can happen again, because we still serve the same God.
Absolutely.
And I want to see it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I've got to have that one-man revival myself before I can be an instrument of revival.
That's true. Very true. Very, very true.
I mean, I have to get my life in order.
That's right.
Well, let me just talk about some of the more of the results. Uneducated Chinese became more effective in evangelism than the missionaries.
Mm.
That's always good, because you want the nationals that live there to become the ones that do it. That's really the work of a missionary to see that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Evangelistic teens were sent to two different provinces, with many being saved. Unconverted church members and even preachers and missionaries were saved. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. All the faculty of the North China Baptist Theological Seminary and Bible School had been filled with the Holy Spirit. You see the key there? Enrollment in some Bible colleges grew 35-fold. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. There is a difference between a Christian and a Spirit-filled Christian. And if you don't think so, read 1 Corinthians. And some, they were in a squabble. Some said, I'm Apollos. Some are, I'm Paul. Some are, I'm a Peter.
Yeah.
And Paul says, well, you're just baby Christians. You're carnal.
Yeah.
And you get to arguing over the carpet or how we're going to set the temperature, and you're more worried about somebody staining that carpet or maybe whatever in that church building than you are about a soul, then you got a problem.
You do.
You're carnal.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so.
And if you're more worried about the clock on the wall than and giving the pastor to pray that he will speak in the power of the Holy Spirit, you got a problem.
We don't have a clock.
Well, you're the.
We don't have a clock.
I knew I loved you for some reason, but of course, if you're, we have to have one here at the radio station.
I know here at the radio
station.
But
enrollment in Bible colleges grew 35-fold. I said that revival was experienced in all three Baptist hospitals, with many nurses being saved and filled with the Spirit. Patients were saved daily. Realize this went on for 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years.
Renewed power was given for living, serving, and dying. Increased persecution, that's going to happen.
Oh, yes.
Was experienced. Family relationships were healed, and unsaved people, seeing the change in the people, came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they were drawn to Christ by seeing the change.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the results. I'm summarizing because of time. The study of the Bible became more intensified. Mm-hmm. There's a song, Brian, you and I on our sister station, WVHM. We do shows there. I do I'm on 7 days a week there, to be honest. Yeah, I spend a great more. I'm more there than I am here, on the air anyway.
Yeah.
And there's a song, I believe it's by the Down East Boys, called Beat Up Bible.
Yeah.
And
you can look at that one and know that it's beat up. It's pretty, you've used it a lot.
And I still do. And let's get into it. Let's get into it. So conversions and baptisms increased 10 times the first year and continued for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
Lives were transformed. Opium addictions were broken. Family idols were destroyed. That may seem foreign to us, but anything that takes the place of God is an idol.
Is an idol, yeah.
Now, I've worked in different cultures and ministered, of course, different languages, been in different places. But I tell you this, they have household idols, I should say.
Oh, yeah.
But when you come to Jesus, he's the only one you need.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Stolen goods were returned to the rightful owners. Uh-huh.
Mm.
Joy in the Lord brought more singing, especially choruses. Many new hymns were composed. They didn't get in a hurry.
Uh-huh.
If it ain't in the bulletin, if it ain't in the bulletin, I ain't doing it.
Yeah, I know.
And it's going to be the first, second, and last verse, and we're going home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now you see, Chinese leaders became more conscious of their responsibility and manifested a new gratitude to the missionaries for their work in laying foundations. Self-support of the Chinese church, which had been a distant goal, now was seen as being attainable. They became a self-sustaining, self-supporting church. A fresh victory over sin emerged where before there was powerlessness. You think about that. It can happen. Do you want to see America revived?
Mm-hmm.
Souls saved.
Yeah.
It's got to start with you.
It's
got to start with me.
Absolutely.
Father, thank you for allowing us to share these moments on the radio. Lord, empty us of ourselves and fill us with you. May we be an instrument of service for your glory. Use us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.